Black Rifle Coffee Company, together with the Boot Campaign, are on a mission to raise $1 million to change the lives of veterans. Now through the end of the year, when you grab a can of ready-to-drink coffee, you can help contribute to making this massive donation possible. The Boot Campaign is one of the most renowned veteran-focused nonprofits in the country, working tirelessly to provide life-changing aid and benefits to service members and their families. Black Rifle ready-to-drink coffee is available in several great-tasting flavors at blackriflecoffee.com/Dana or at convenience stores nationwide. Whether it's the berry mocha, vanilla bomb, or espresso salted caramel, every can helps. Fuel your caffeine fix while making a huge difference in the lives of veterans and their families. Black Rifle Coffee Company is committed to serving the veteran community, and with your help, we can all continue to make a difference. Let's raise a can together and keep fueling Americans for a good cause. Visit blackriflecoffee.com/Dana. That's blackriflecoffee.com/Dana.
January 23rd, 2021, the White House sent an email to Twitter. The email said this: wanted to flag the below tweet, and I'm wondering if we can get moving on the process for having it removed ASAP in all caps. That third day, what did that tweet say? Tweet from Mr. Kennedy said this: Hank Aaron's tragic death is part of a wave of suspicious deaths among elderly closely following administration of the vaccine. He received the vaccine on January 5th to inspire other Black Americans to get the vaccine. Now, what's interesting about the email that the White House sent to Twitter is the subject line says, flagging Hank Aaron misinformation. Mm. Now, misinformation is when you don't have the facts right. You're saying things that aren't true. But when you look at Mr. Kennedy's tweet, there was nothing in there that was factually inaccurate. Hank Aaron, real person, great American, passed away after he got the vaccine, pointing out facts. And yet the White House on the third day was trying, actually 1:04 a.m. on January 23rd, 2021, 37 hours into the administration, they were trying to censor Mr. Kennedy. I find that interesting, the irony here, trying to censor the guy who's actually their Democrat primary opponent.
Mm. Yeah, see, that's the thing. I think the guy's an absolute kook. He's right on the clot shot, but I would never want to censor anybody. I mean, you know how I am. I like everyone letting their freak flag fly because, you know, you can make an informed decision that way. But this is the ongoing weaponization of government. And how do you get any lower? Where's the bottom? For real, where is it? Where is the bottom?
A new one's created every day.
Okay, don't tease me like that. Welcome to the show. It is your absolutely hateful curmudgeon today. My grandmother would say it's full of, I don't think I can say the word for urine that's a cuss word. She would say blank and vinegar. That was her saying. Whenever anybody acted up, including a child, she'd tell them that. I don't know. It was her. She had a way with words. Welcome to the show. Dana Lash here with you. Top of this first hour on Thursday. It's like hearing Palooza. And we're going to cover some of it. We also have some of the highlights from yesterday. Because I don't know how anybody can watch what happened yesterday and or see any of these clips that came out and think at all whatsoever that this was not a major cover up, that this is that everything regarding the first family's finances, this has nothing to do with petty politics. I would be all over Trump or DeSantis or anybody else, and you would be too. But when you are using your authority that has been vested in you by the vote of the people and you're abusing it and you're enriching yourself while compromising national security, you're laundering money. What else is there? It's Occam's razor. They've got all these shell companies and all this money is going. I mean, we all watch Ozark, okay? We all know. They got all these shell. They're laundering money through that. What do you... Who gets just like randomly almost $7 million from Romania? You think they gave that to Hunter Biden out of the goodness of their hearts? We really like you. No. They're paying for something. What? All of this. I don't know how anybody can see these clips and walk away thinking that this isn't one of the biggest miscarriages of justice to the point where it cracks the foundation. of this nation. It does. And we've got some, we're going to get into some of it. We got a lot of stuff to get into actually today. We got some culture. We've got the media reaction to some of the hearing yesterday. You're going to want to hear that for sure. But this has been, after we got off air, I watched the rest of the hearing. And there were some really interesting, fascinating parts of this. And it was intriguing to me that all of the Democrats spent all of their time essentially doing B-roll for campaign videos, etc. I think there was only, I'm going to give credit where due, I think there was only one or two Democrats that actually asked a question. Although Raskin did it while he was being a jackwagon, but they were actually asking some questions. But everybody else, they were monologuing. All of them were monologuing. They were just trying to get some B-roll for their, you know, re-election bid footage. Their media buddies. I want you to listen to this. This is one of the representatives. This is Audio Soundbite 5. And this is one of these Democrats who was sitting there monologuing, right? I think we all learned the lesson on that from The Incredibles, by the way. Yep. You caught me monologuing. I want you to listen to what this congressman, this is an elected official, he's supposed to be your moral better, sitting in Congress during this hearing. I want you to hear what he thinks these agencies, their jobs are, what they're supposed to do. Listen.
Here's what galls me. I don't like these attacks on the Department of Justice, the FBI, the IRS, as if they are somehow anti-U.S. agencies. Those agencies keep this democracy in check. It keeps them afloat. They provide the checks and they provide the balances.
That's not what they do. They provide the checks and they provide the balances. That is not what they do. Really? They provide checks and balances? These are bureaucratic agencies of unelected officials who are not accountable to you. They're accountable to the people that we put into elected office. And those are the people, ladies and gentlemen, that are to provide the checks and the balances, our branches of government. Oh my gosh, bring back Schoolhouse Rock.
Right.
By the way, sidebar, how invaluable was that?
Man, that was good.
Right, it was so good. It's the job of the DOJ. No, actually, they haven't been keeping democracy in check. They haven't been. I don't know how you can say that. They've been entirely politicized. This has been going on since the 90s. I remember when I was a kid and I was in junior high when Bill Clinton was first, when he was running. And then when he was going for re-election, there were stories that were coming out. I mean, you know, like Bill O'Reilly, for instance, who's on the first two. And by the way, when you watch the radio program, it's the simulcast of the radio program, and you can watch it via the first DirecTV, Channel 347, YouTube, Facebook. But Bill O'Reilly's on the first. I don't think he's ever really talked about it. I think he touched on it in a book. But I remember hearing that on the news. Like, Clinton's IRS was going after him because of the way that O'Reilly was reporting on him. That was the first time I'd ever, and I was in junior high, that was the first time I had ever heard about the IRS being abused that way. And then it was just something I always watched, government agencies being abused. Because, you know, when you're growing up, you think that the adults are supposed to be the people who know better. And the adults are in charge of government. And they're in charge of all of these things that are going to affect your life, not just now, but affect your life far into the future. And so, you have faith in them just because it's sort of, you know, you're sort of born with that expectation. You have to have faith in these agencies. You have to have faith in these people, or trust them at least. Put your no faith in anyone here on earth. But you're supposed to at least be able to trust them. They're supposed to have some kind of credibility. And as you get older and as you get more aware, it's not cynicism. It is the shattered dream of what you thought you were growing up into. That's not cynicism. That's the depressing weight of reality. Because people are flawed. And a government is only as good as the people are. And as much as I want to throw everything at these agencies, they are a reflection of us. Now, some of us have been out there. I can't say it universally. Because I have some really good friends who they have such a passion to serve, and they canvass and they help educate voters, and they offer to take voters to go to people to go vote. And they do all of this for, you know, nobody pays them. They do it because they believe in it that much, which is amazing. And they don't have the time to do it. They make the time to do it. That's the difference between a patriot and a couch sitter. Nobody's got the time to do it. You make the time to do it. You'd rather make the time to do it than not be able to have the opportunity to do it at all. But that's, it's the cynicism. And it has, I mean, we've all seen, I think that also kind of contributes to this degradation of rule of law. And this growing hostility between the citizenry and this ever-expanding government and this, you know, other pillar of government that, you know, this, these nameless, faceless bureaucrats who do the bidding of these elected officials so these elected officials can look like their hands are clean. It is depressing. I mean, it's why you got to teach your kids early. But this has been the hearing yesterday and then the hearing today. I mean, you know, I tell you guys, it is, it, I mean, a back-to-back sucker punch in terms of our ability to trust our government. Now, I'm going to have some more on the oversight or the weaponization of government. We're going to get into that, but I'm also looking at just some of the insane stuff that came out yesterday. The whistleblower who was named, Joseph Ziegler. Listen to this. This is, it's a little long, but I want you to listen to it because he went into how much this is. I want you to realize this is just 2014 to 2019. Who knows? I mean, nobody knows how much they've received after this. Ziegler testified. And again, he's the IRS special agent. He knows. He's seen it. Can you imagine? What would you do if you did? What would happen to you if you got $17 million and you didn't claim it in taxes? Holy hell, people are getting busted for anything over $600 on Etsy or Venmo or PayPal. But they, oh, $17 million. Listen to this. This is this whistleblower, Ziegler, who came out yesterday. The media has no idea how to handle this guy. And listen to him give receipts.
I want to discuss with you specific payments made to Hunter Biden and the Biden family. Democrats and the left-wing media are also saying there's no evidence. But let's get into the evidence, Mr. Ziegler. I want to direct you to pages 99 and 100 of your transcript. How much money did Hunter Biden and his associates receive from the Romanian company you identified?
One company.
So that amount would be from Romania. So the approximate total transfers from the Romania company would have been $3.1 million to everyone.
$3.1 million. How much did Hunter Biden and his business associates receive from State Energy HK Limited through the Robinson Walker LLC?
So total transfers from State Energy HK to Rob Walker was $3
million. $3 million. Was there a $100,000 payment from CEFC Infrastructure to Owasco PC, Hunter Biden's professional corporation?
Yes, Chairman.
Approximately how much was transferred to Hunter Biden and his business associates through Hudson West 3?
So the total transfers from Hudson West 3 to everyone was $3.7
million. $3.7 million. How much money did Hunter Biden and his business associates receive from the Ukrainian company Burisma?
Burisma paid to everyone involved $6.5
million. $6.5 million. Burisma also paid Blue Star Strategies and a law firm hundreds of thousands of dollars, bringing the total Burisma payments to over $7 million. Is that correct?
That is correct. $7.3
million. $7.3 million. Between 2014 and 2019, this brings the total amount of foreign income streams received to approximately $17 million, correct?
That is correct.
What was the purpose of analyzing money from foreign sources, and do you have documents to support your findings?
So for the purpose of documenting the foreign sources is we, as a part of a normal international tax investigation, we have to figure out where the money's coming from. You have to follow the money trail.
Where's it going?
And as a part of that process, we have to follow different transactions, identify different foreign entities that might be paying a person, and then we go and get those records.
Right. And hopefully you can provide that to the mm-hmm. to the committee.
So yeah. Any records regarding those transactions?
So this is Whistleblower X. One of the other things that Ziegler said is he was the guy who prepped the search warrant for Hunter Biden's storage locker. But that one U.S. attorney who was getting in the way, he actually said no to searching it. But then he let the defense for Hunter Biden let them know that they knew about the storage locker. You tell me there's not two tiers.
Folks, do you believe in our founders' vision for America, that our republic will only survive if we are an educated and informed people who know our rights and duties? Since 1844, Hillsdale College has sought to educate all who wish to learn about these timeless principles of self-government. For more than 50 years, the college has worked to spread that mission by sending Imprimis, their Digest of Liberty, to millions of Americans, including me. Imprimis features some of the best speeches given at Hillsdale events, and now an audio version of the popular Speech Digest is available in a new podcast of the same name. And like the printed publication, Imprimis the podcast is always free. You can hear the best arguments from speakers such as Christopher Rufo, Mark Stein, and Hillsdale College President Larry P. Arn, among many others, all read by Hillsdale students. Visit DanaForHillsdale.com to subscribe today and start listening to Imprimis today, all for free. To listen, visit DanaForHillsdale.com. That's DanaForHillsdale.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
All right. So first up here, 8 out of 10 millionaires didn't inherit their money. They earned it. I've told you guys this before. There was a study that it was something like that Forbes ran, I think, 7 or 8 years ago. And they were saying that the like over 96% of new money is, you know, the idea that people inherit their wealth is just a fairy tale. They said, yeah, 80% of America's millionaires, they didn't inherit any money at all. And only 3% inherited maybe $1 million or a little more. It's very, very limited. Harry and Meghan asked, they literally begged Air Force One to give them a ride after the Queen's funeral. You know, the taxpayers have to pay for that. These entitled welfare grifters. And June home sales have dropped to the slowest pace in 14 years because supply is apparently choking the market. Good heavens. Wait until I tell you about the Florida man joker.
When you see judicial rot running rampant and American companies embracing insanity and wokery, you got to fight back, starting with the way that we spend our money. So for years, big mobile companies have dumped millions into leftist causes, and you know, we just kind of took it because another option didn't exist. Well, now one does. Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless provider, and they offer dependable nationwide coverage on all three major networks, so you get the best possible service in your area without the woke propaganda. And when you switch to Patriot Mobile, you support free speech and religious freedom, the sanctity of life, Second Amendment, and our military veterans and first responders. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call them at 878-PATRIOT and get free activation today with offer code Dana. Ask about their coverage guarantee as well. patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT. patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT.
Between Twitter, Facebook, or any of your social media, there's a lot of information out there. That's why your lovable curmudgeon is here to help you make sense of it all, live or on demand. The Dana Show.
Investigators were not allowed to follow up on WhatsApp messages from Hunter Biden's Apple iCloud backup, where he suggested he was sitting next to his father. Assistant United States Attorney Leslie Wolf cited the optics of executing a search warrant at President Biden's residence as a deciding factor for not allowing it, even though she agreed that probable cause existed.
Mm. So what you're hearing there is that apparently they decided that, they had a search warrant ready to go. They were going to execute it at President Biden's home, but they were stopped because of optics. They were so worried about what that was going to look like. Welcome back to the show. Dana Lash with you. That was Shabley saying that yesterday at the hearing. That's one of the things that came out after we were off air, because it went on for quite some time. He was saying that, yes, it's they testified that the DOJ prevented the IRS investigators from actually searching his house because they were worried about how it looked. Do you know, Tom Bevin was tweeting about this earlier today. There was a total media blackout on the IRS whistleblower hearings.
Yeah.
I mean, a total media blackout. On CNN, The number one story, case against Trump, may be broader than expected. Then they have that serial killer story. Then they have Texas's abortion ban. Tennis player retires. Same thing with New York Times. Climate, salmon in Alaska, let's see. Recession, being on the trail and trial may be a tall order for Trump. They just ran that story for the headline. Washington Post, it's all Trump. Oh, what else? This guy who's going after Clarence Thomas, blah, blah, blah. USA Today. They had one story, and it's this headline. IRS whistleblowers lash out in fiery hearing on Hunter Biden. Lash out. They're a stupid perspective. I mean, it was at the bottom. Even at Fox, it wasn't. He noted that it was below a lot of this, some of this other stuff that they had up there. It's just wild. If you looked at memorandum, which, yes, it's, you know, obviously very lefty bent, but it gets, I mean, they have, inside Kevin McCarthy's secret promise to expunge Trump's record. It's all Trump, 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 Trump. We hate DeSantis, Trump, Trump, Trump. That's pretty much what it is. I mean, they have one, and it's just when the whistleblower X was identified. That's the only thing that they have. And then they went after Marjorie Taylor Greene, which we're going to talk about in a second. Unbelievable. That was it. Total blackout. They cannot have this stuff. I mean, if you listened to this yesterday, oh my gosh. Democrats who blew the whistle because the corruption was so bad. They can see they're worried about it. Marjorie Taylor Greene, they went after her yesterday. Ooh, boy. So this was after we were off air. This was early evening. This was almost 5 o'clock yesterday. And Marjorie Taylor Greene was speaking at the hearing. And, you know, sometimes they, you know, lawmakers bring visual aids and things like that. And that's exactly what she did. Audio soundbite 2. She displayed. These images were censored on the poster board. I want to make that clear. They were censored. They didn't show no bits and pieces. But here she's displaying images and talking about what's happening during the hearing yesterday. Listen.
Making pornography.
Should we be displaying this, Mr. Chairman, in the committee?
The lady's time has expired and went 2.5 minutes over.
Mr.
Buffume wants the 2.5 minutes. He can have it if he wants to yield some to Ms. Ocasio-Cortez.
They were so mad. And by the way, we had to, DirecTV was going to complain if we didn't. So I would have just shown you. You know why? Because if you can't show it in Congress, why in the hell is that stuff in our kids' books?
Thank you.
Oh, you think I'm joking? It's not. Like, it literally, it's just interesting. I don't know if it was on purpose or not, but the images that she showed on that poster board were literally, I mean, the large one that you could easily see was literally like the real life image of the stuff that's in the book Gender Queer that's been in middle school libraries across America. And my friend, whose child attends Keller, the ISD in Keller, found it. Not online, in the library. Physically brought the copy home. She's 13. It was a graphic novel about pornography. So I don't want to hear this. And she sent pictures everywhere. In fact, some of the pictures that are being shared online of that page of that book are the ones she posted on Facebook. So don't tell me that they're not. I mean, and that's just one of a whole handful of stuff where it's like that. I was sharing some of the stuff I can't. I mean, I went right up to the line yesterday with some of the stuff that because there were progressives who didn't believe it. But I made this point yesterday about Marjorie Taylor Greene. I'm like, well, hold up here. They were all flipping out. They were so mad. Can you believe they were saying it was revenge porn? Did you see that hot take? I mean, he's the one who posted it online. The difference is that, you know, his was censored. So she shows this, and I mean, it's censored on the thing. And what, you know why it's germane to all of this? Because I hope it didn't escape your attention that at several instances, and there are receipts on this that have already been publicly posted, Joe Biden had to pay his hooker bill. You guys remember when that came out in one of the hearings? Joe Biden had to pay for the escort services of Hunter Biden. Was he using laundered money to do it? I'm curious. That's not an accusation. That is recorded fact with receipts that have been published. Just because there's a media blackout on it doesn't mean I'm going to go along with people's, you know, the fantasy that it doesn't exist. And I mean, the reaction that everybody had. Oh my gosh. It's, you know, for all the people who were mad about it, and there were some Republicans who thought it was beyond the pale. Shut up. They weren't any different from the images in the books that the left is demanding that kids read in schools. Like the one of him who was he was being serviced by some woman. That was literally one of the pages out of Genderqueer. And by the way, the images she showed were censored. The ones in the kids' books are not. So if it's not okay for Congress, those same people who are flipping out about it, you know, the same people who insisted the P-tape that never existed was real. So where's their opposition to this stuff being shown to kids in schools? I mean, and then parents who objected because they wanted to be made aware of what their kids had access to, and they wanted to be able to weigh in on whether or not it was age appropriate, they were called terrorists and they were surveilled by the FBI. Wow. Somebody should write a book about Hunter's illicit drug use and, you know, like give it the genderqueer treatment, but like the graphic novel style. I mean, they have books like Flamer. I don't even know some of the images I can't even, the text I definitely can't. Some of these books that they have in middle school libraries are, I mean, it's unbelievable. But, you know, you can't show it on a congressional floor. It's crazy. No, I'm glad she did. I'm tired of pretending that this isn't happening. I'm tired of pretending that the white trash family that is in the White House isn't exactly what I described them as. I'm tired of pretending and overlooking this guy's crimes, the family's crimes. Listen to this, Jamie Raskin. Oh, man. I want you to listen to how he describes big Democrat Jamie Raskin, big gun control Democrat Jamie Raskin, big gun grabbing, ban assault weapons, we want a registry, Jamie Raskin. I want you to listen to how he is describing Hunter Biden falsifying that 4473, something you would go to jail for, you'd be charged with a felony. Listen to this.
Person in Iowa. Today we get to witness mega Republicans take the side of IRS agents from the deep state against a Trump-appointed U.S. attorney and a rich guy exercising his Second Amendment rights, but now facing criminal gun charges and tax charges that they would call in any other circumstance purely technical. We are about to hear testimony from two IRS criminal investigators.
So if they come to your house, they, meaning the ATF, they come to your house asking for your pistol braces, just be like, I'm a Democrat. My last name's Biden. Mm-hmm. They'll walk away. So if it's a Democrat, it's just a rich guy exercising his Second Amendment rights. For everyone else, it's a felony and you have blood on your hands. I mean, keep in mind that this is the form that Hunter Biden lied on. His book contradicts his sobriety and drug use because he was stupid enough to literally list dates. I mean, who does this? And this was the pistol that he purchased that ended up being discarded in a trash can literally across the street from an elementary school. Just want to put that out there. So you can't take these people seriously. When it comes to gun control, they don't believe it. They only believe it for you. They don't believe it for them. They don't believe it at all for them. They believe it for you. Not them. So this has been most illuminating. And we have a lot more on this, too. But the way that the media reacted yesterday to this, the Marjorie Taylor Greene stuff, she was right to do it. She ought to do it again. I wouldn't have censored him. That's the difference. You get mad at her because you think that was bad. I would not have censored it. And then I would have accidentally had an image from Genderqueer in there too. Oh, wait a minute. No, wrong thing. I was saving that to tell you about the books they were showing in our kids' schools. I think you got to do that stuff. If anybody does it again, make sure you include some images from some of these books that kids were bringing home before the parents were up in arms and going to school board meetings over it. Because that would have been genius. Golly, their reaction, that would have been million dollar video. But yeah, I mean, they had, I can't even get into some of the, there's some of the books that, like there were photos going around where a mom was like, yes, these books were in the kid's school because she went to her kid's library, middle school library, and was pulling them off the shelf and taking pictures of them. And I can't even read some of the stuff. I can't. I can't even read it. We can't even show it. I mean, this, like I have some of these, and if anyone's defending this, you're a pedophile and you deserve to be called it. I'm not mincing words. Like this one guy, I just give examples, and there are all these like weird, creepy looking dudes. Oh, this isn't taught in school. Are you high? I guess some people, their Google's broken. And so they look at me like their welfare repository of information. I'm not your Google. I'm not the welfare office here to give you free information, free links for these people who want to weigh in on these issues, but they don't want to actually put the work into educating themselves about what they're running their mouths about. I mean, it's amazing. People have just absolute zero self-awareness or really shame to run headfirst into something like that and not know what they're talking about. I mean, it's all these books are out there. I mean, this is not up for dispute. But what gets me is that people were like, well, yeah, it's not a big deal. They were saying, oh, you guys are overdramatic. Overdramatic. You were the people who literally were calling to SWAT firearm owners if you just so much as saw a gun. Who's overdramatic again? You guys were looking for a pee tape that didn't exist. Who's overdramatic again? Amazing how quickly they switch.
Catch the Dana Show noon to 3 p.m. Eastern on DirecTV Channel 347.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
And you testified that he said that Hunter told his dad, according to Rob Walker, quote, I may be trying to start a company or try to do something with these guys. Now, let me ask you something. That doesn't sound much like Joe Biden was involved in whatever Hunter Biden was doing with the CEFC if Hunter Biden is telling him that he's trying to do business with them, does it?
No, but it does show that he told his father he was trying to do business. And he was
okay. Well, that is true. Hunter Biden does try to do business. That's correct. Yes. So you don't not only have no direct evidence connecting Joe Biden
except
to
that
any of Hunter Biden's business deal.
You absolute stooge. Well, you know what? I take it back. Who was the person that I said this about like two different lawmakers. I was like, these are the dumbest people in Congress. I don't remember who it was I said that about. No, I take that back. It's Goldman. He's the dumbest. Yeah. That is, he just buried them. He thought he got a little over his skis there. He's like, yeah, okay, well, that's true. Hunter Biden does try to do business. He couldn't. No. It just shows that he was talking to him about business at the very least. And they literally testified under, everybody was under oath saying opposite. You know, they went after Mike Flynn for lying like that. Well, he didn't even lie. He just said he couldn't remember meeting someone, and then they threatened his son. I mean,
and repeatedly in the media, Biden himself has denied talking to his son about his business dealing.
Yeah. No, I haven't talked to my son. Yeah, they'd get him every time he was, he would get off Marine One. Yeah. They'd ask him. No. I told you, I haven't. He gets aggravated about it.
That was a lie.
Yeah. That's, man, alive. So he's like, yeah, you know, Shapley said, yeah. I mean, clearly they're talking about business. And then Goldman's like, but there's no direct evidence except the email that you literally just quoted where they're talking about business. You absolute stooge. There was one point, too, and we're going to play it coming up just for the theater of it. Where, oh, it was Summer Lee, Representative Summer Lee. She gets a chance to ask a question and she doesn't ask a question. She goes on some, it sounds like a drug-fueled rant. I guess we know where the cocaine came from. I don't know. I mean, she went on about lynching and Nixon and all kinds of stuff. Wrong hearing, I think. Stay with us. We got a lot more on the way. More of The Dana Show back after this.
My Republican colleagues seem to think that using criminal law as a weapon or a political tool is objectionable only when directed against someone who should be out of reach of the criminal system. Someone too rich, too powerful, or too white to be charged. But let's face it. That same system has been used as a weapon and a political tool against black people since the Emancipation Proclamation. These racial disparities are rooted in a two-tiered view on
Someone's
race.
In the wrong hearing.
The belief that black people were inferior, that was created to justify the enslavement of black people, which has now evolved into to include the belief that black people are more prone to criminality. During the decades of lynchings that followed enslavement, white people defended the torture and murder of black people as necessary to protect property. Families,
she went on and on and on about that. Then she was saying that there was like no justice with the George Floyd thing. Derek Chauvin is in jail. He's going to be in jail for 40 years. Yep. Hunter Biden got a sweetheart deal. Golly, that's just. Well, kudos to the other members who were sitting there. I don't know if you saw. Welcome back to the program, by the way. Dana Lash here with you. Top of the second hour this Thursday. We're running through the hits, some of the stuff that happened after the show concluded yesterday. And then we've got some from the weaponization of government. There's a media blackout on it. These are the two biggest things happening right now. We're going to get into some of the culture stuff, too. Some other things you need to know with immigration, etc. But I don't know if you saw. Did you see Ziegler's face? So when these Democrats, when they go on these rants, these witnesses, they just kind of have to sit there. They just kind of sit there and they don't really know what to do because they're not really being asked a question. They're sort of being lectured at at. And so when Summer Lee started her diatribe that had nothing to do with this hearing, Ziegler just sort of sat there and his expression was America's expression. His face contorted into a WTF. And he just kind of sat there like, are you kidding me? And you could tell Shapley was more used to the, you know, I'm used to this. But you could tell that Ziegler wasn't. And he was just fed up. Someone asked me yesterday, do you think that he's going to switch parties after what happened? After the hearing yesterday and all everything he's been through? Dude, it's highly probable. I mean, you know, I don't know. You never know anymore. It's highly probable. But it just wild. Just wild. Ugh. I mean, it is something else. Now, as this went on, because we've been also discussing this weaponization of government hearing, this has been pretty damning. Like, you had Debbie Wasserman Schultz. I'm going to say something. I'm not an RFK Jr. fan. I've told you before, I think he's a kook. And he said some crazy stuff over the past 10 years recently. I mean, he's told firearm owners that we all have blood on our hands. He's railed on us after Parkland. He said that anyone who deny climate deniers should be jailed. I mean, he said some crazy stuff. I agree with him on the clot shot. That's great, you know, broken clocks and stuff too. But I'm not going to like hold him up as some. I think the right, some people on the right think that they're playing 3D chess by, well, if we celebrate him, then that's going to be a challenge to Biden. He's not going to be a challenge to Biden. Gavin Newsom's the challenge to Biden. It's not RFK. That being said, I don't think that what's happening at the hearing, particularly on this issue and the government weaponization and everything that's been happening with this shot, I don't think it should be discounted. What kind of aggravates me is that RFK Jr., because of the way that he is viewed and the way in which he's kind of discredited himself with stuff he said in the past, it gives this whole patina. It casts that whole, it casts a shadow on everything that's happening. And I feel like it's an excuse for the media and the left to say that they don't want to take it seriously because of that. And that's what aggravates me about this whole thing. I'm actually pretty sauced about it. But this, like for instance, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, they didn't want him to testify in a public hearing. I mean, they've been trying to shut people up. It's pretty amazing to watch this happen. And I just noticed too, there's absolutely nothing about this anywhere. It's not on memorandum. It's not, I mean, I was just kind of looking at a few things, not on my, any of my quote unquote wires, none of that. That's something. Nowhere. But it is incredibly significant that you have Democrats that are that they just they want them all to shut up. They don't, we're not going to listen to any of this. We're not going to listen. They want them to be quiet. Huh. Like, for instance, they had, where's the, we had the Schultz one, right? The Wasserman Schultz one?
I have it. It's a 3-minute thing. But
well, let's listen to some of it because this was just a little bit ago. They don't want anybody talking on this.
Pursuant to House Rule 11, Clause 2, which Mr. Kennedy is violative of, I move that we remove into executive session because Mr. Kennedy has repeatedly made despicable anti-Semitic and anti-Asian comments as recently as last week. Rule 11, Clause 2 says, whenever it is asserted by a member of the committee that the evidence or testimony at a hearing may tend to defame, degrade, or incriminate any person, or it is asserted by a witness that the evidence or testimony that the witness would give at a hearing may tend to defame, degrade, or incriminate the witness, and it goes on. Mr. Kennedy, among many other things, has said, I know a lot now about bioweapons. We put out hundreds of millions of dollars into ethnically targeted microbes. The Chinese have done the same thing. In fact, COVID-19, there is an argument that it is ethnically targeted.
You know what gets me?
COVID-19 attacks certain races.
And we talked about his comment. Again, he's got a history of saying things, and you almost can't take him seriously on other things, even if he's trying to be serious on it. I mean, that's kind of the problem with, that's the problem he created for himself, that he's created for himself in the past 10 years. I wrote a piece on it. You can go read it. I'm not going to retalk about it. But what they're, like I said, they're using that as a way to not talk about this issue or to discredit any kind of issues raised about it, any legitimate concerns raised about it. You know, all of the doctors that have been asking, you know, what about, you know, side effects, you know, adverse reactions, etc. They just, oh, well, him, we don't have to because of him. And they use it as like a get out of jail pass. But also, I just want to add, they're so upset over something that he said, but Rashida Tlaib and other Democrats literally voted to not like condemn Israeli violence against, or violence against Israelis. And Ilhan Omar, does a week go by where she doesn't say something that's genuinely anti-Semitic?
Nope.
But they're fine with that. They couldn't even bring themselves to censure her. They couldn't even do that. They're fine with that. That's something else. I mean, and I noted this too. I'm pulling up because if you sign up for the newsletter, chapter and verse over at Substack, I get into all this stuff. I had some of this in the rundown, the show prep email that you get every morning. And I had noted too in there that they had, because they had a vote that they took, and like you had Premiya Jayapal. She really just, I mean, she was trying to justify jihadism and her, some remarks. She's the member of the, she's the chair of the Congressional Progressive Caucus, and she said that Israel was a racist state. She wasn't talking about it. Again, there's a difference in talking about government and then people as a whole. She's not talking about government. She's not talking about Israeli government policies. She's using like stereotypes to go after an entire group of people. She said, oh, it's a racist state. She was she was at Nutroots, and that's when she was trying to appease some of the protesters there. And because they had some of the Free Palestine protesters. And so then they began, with her remarks, began catering to them. And that's when she was saying her, and then she doubled down on it. And then she was trying to act like the victim because people were criticizing her. And there was nothing from Debbie Wasserman Schultz about this. Nothing. I mean, how many times has she done this? How many times has Ilhan Omar done this? I mean, she was literally comparing, she was trying to say that the Israeli government was like Hitler and that Palestinians were the Jews during the Holocaust. She said that. That's literally what she said. And she, I just, wow. The New York Times was trying to help with damage control. They had this big op-ed that came out the next day. They said the rush to condemn her offhand remarks.
Offhand?
Like that makes it less bigoty because it's reduces the level of bigotry because it's offhanded. Wow. But hey, nothing from Debbie Wasserman Schultz or any of the Democrats on that. What was it that Ilhan Omar said and they were going to censure her, but then they left her name out of it? She's calling, like, what was she saying, that Israelis were devils or something like that? And they were going to, there was a motion to censure her, and they could not even, the Democrats refused to add her name. They just made this generalized statement. Yeah, I don't want to hear anything from them on RFK Jr. I don't want to hear a single thing. I think he's a kook. I don't want them, they don't get to say anything about him, though. Mm-mm. They don't have any ground to stand on. They don't. Nope. Not gonna deal with it. Now, a couple of other things. As I was telling you, I sent out a piece this morning on the whole situation with Jason Aldean. So I think it's I'm pulling this story up because I have it, if you'll forgive me for a moment. I think it's ABC that's not moving. Grand Ole Opry, and I love how all of the progressives who have to Google even had the correct spelling of that name. They were trying to push on them to cancel. He's got like a date coming up, a performance date in August. And they were trying to, all of these Karen, these rage mob people, they were trying to push back and trying to get the Opry to cancel him. But so far, it looks like CMT pulled his video from rotation, but he's number one on all the charts. And ABC, I think, is standing ground. So not everybody's, I mean, I think that they finally, I don't think it's working the way that they wanted to. I don't think it is. So, and people are blasting ABC because ABC aired it at CMA Fest 2023 and they were, they got blasted for it. And so, that was yesterday. They played it. They played a song. He performed it. It was pre-taped at Nissan Stadium in Nashville. And people are like, oh, it's divisive. There's nothing. It's pro-lynching. I don't even know where they get that from. That's them projecting on to Aldean. Because there was nothing. Leave it to progressives. If a conservative or a Republican or somebody who is just not them condemns violence, then you're apparently encouraging it. They have to. This is their whole shtick. They are desperately trying to rewrite and rewire the public perception on this as a way to dodge responsibility and accountability. They want to rewire how you perceive this with performative outrage. That's what this is. And I said this yesterday, they're so desperate to make this about race because he mentioned he condemned the violence from rioting and the violent crime rate in generationally run Democrat cities. They have to try to make this about race somehow so that they can dodge that, you know, it was the Democrat controlled cities that are most affected by crime. It was black communities that were damaged most with these progressive riots. But I do think it's funny that this song came out in May, you know, and progressives are such huge country music fans that they're only just now discovering it.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So there is a story out of Yahoo. It says it's a really, well, I'm going to be ignorant. The chick who wrote it, her name's Kendall with a Y, K-Y-N. Kendall. Stop it. You know, she has a sister named Madison, and it's like S-Y-N. The headline is, should you be boycotting movie theaters during the SAG and WGS strikes? No, you shouldn't. Anyway, I answered it. Look, I saved you a click. Also, there's a lawsuit. This is so funny. There's a lawsuit that says somebody's filing suit because their Thai food was too spicy. I'm not even kidding you. It's a spicy appetizer in Los Gatos called Dragon Balls at Coup de Thai, and it's at the center of a lawsuit filed by this woman who says the dish caused severe chemical burns to her vocal cords, her esophagus, her right nostril. Did you snort it? Like, how does this happen? It's described as spicy chicken balls with mint, shallot, green onion, cilantro, lime leaf, and it's, you know, all this stuff. It's spicy. Yeah, if it says spicy on any kind of Thai menu, that means it's going to set your head on fire. If it's like mild or no seasoning, then it's going to be spicy. If you're not used to eating spicy food, then it's going to be spicy. So, I mean, learn. Let's see. kids that are entering the country illegally apparently are bringing tuberculosis, at least in a number of different sites. According to the Washington Times, they're saying that these kids that are being brought illegally across the border, we're talking young kids, with tuberculosis infections have actually increased. They've released into 44 states, and it's actually increasing the number of TB infections. What? They said 2,500 kids with latent infections were released into 44 states over the past year. That's a court-ordered report on how Health and Human Services under Xavier Becerra, we're going to talk about this here coming up next segment, is treating kids. 126,000 total were released, indicating an infection rate of 1 in 50. That's terrifying and incredibly sad. Good heavens. And now DOJ is apparently now looking into how Texas is dealing with illegal entrants. We're going to talk about that coming up. Stick with us.
YouTube, Facebook, or DirecTV. If you're looking for the number one afternoon host in the country, you've found her. Download the podcast every day to catch up. The Dana Show.
Why did you want to interview Hunter Biden's adult children?
So a lot of the business deductions expenses related to the adult children.
Did you get the approvals?
So we never received the approvals to talk to those people.
What did the assistant U.S. attorney tell you?
That's going to get us into hot water.
Is that in the IRS handbook, avoiding hot water?
No, but I mean, I was asking to do these certain things, and roadblock after roadblock was put up in front of me.
Wow, that's pretty damning. It's also weird. Were they in the same room together?
It didn't look like it there first.
It totally didn't look like it. That's Catherine Herridge with CBS, who's interviewing now he's identified whistleblower X, Joseph Ziegler, who was saying that they weren't allowed to interview the rest of the Bidens, the Biden grown children. Now, the reason why, and if you heard what he said there, she was asking him, well, why did you want to interview the kids? You know, the 50 something year old kids. And he was saying because the business expenses related to them. I'm curious because it came out in one of the hearings that, and it was an email and then literally I think it was a text from Joe Biden saying that he had sent him the money. Hunter needed money. He asked for a specific amount to settle a bill and Joe sent it to him and told him that it was sent. And that was the exact amount that was used on this escort service that was paid to an escort service. So you know he was paying for Hunter's hookers. That's not disputable. So that's why the IRS was asking these questions because they were writing the weirdest stuff off as business expenses. And they went over all of that. Like, yes, this is. Like, for instance, he would be renting rooms, pulling up my nose here. He would be renting hotel rooms and doing all, and he would say that it was for business. It was a business expense. Renting a house, a business expense. All of this business expense. I mean, it's incredibly incriminating. And every single time that investigators wanted to execute a search warrant to find out, you know, what's in the storage locker, what's in this, what's in the computer, they were blocked by the DOJ. The DOJ that Merrick Garland had repeatedly assured everyone in numerous press appearances was not politicizing this, that he was not involved in it at all. He has no participation in it. Well, that's a lie. As Shapley was testifying yesterday, he was like, yeah, well, you know, there's a reason why a number of U.S. attorneys were called off of actually pursuing this. There's a reason why the charge was reduced from a felony to a misdemeanor in California. There's a reason why some of these attorneys dragged this out until the statute of limitations expired on some of these felony offenses. This is how they do law and order. And this is an incredibly significant. I thought that was an incredibly significant answer. And the other thing is that their stories, what they have said, both in written testimony, even before they went and testified publicly before the committee, has been rock solid. It's been consistent this entire time. They have not changed a single thing. And it's really hard for them to make the argument at this point now that there's not some sort of political motivation for this. I mean, this is something else. So I don't, and the media just won't, total blackout. Nothing. Except for, I will say, Herridge interviewed Joseph Ziegler. But no one else. You would think that would be a really good get. That'd be a really good interview, right? For a lot of these, you know, where's Jake Tapper interviewing Joseph Ziegler? Where's Jen Psaki interviewing Joseph Ziegler? Where's George Stephanopoulos interviewing Joseph Ziegler? Or Shapley? Where are any of these people? Where are any of these, I mean, former operatives now, journalists, interviewing any of them? I mean, this is a major story. It's a major story because the president of the United States is compromised, and this is about uncovering to the extent to which he's compromised. I mean, whether or not he's compromised isn't the question. The question is the extent of it. Since he was vice president, probably even before then, he was using his elected office as a way to secure greater financial success for himself and his family beyond his paycheck. And not claiming it, apparently, and that's what kicked off this whole thing. They weren't claiming any of this income they were getting in. But oh my gosh, if you make a sale online and it's over $601 and you don't claim it, the IRS is going to visit you. Isn't it ironic to hear him talk about all, you know, going after the millionaires and billionaires and making them pay their quote unquote fair share, and here they're dodging it and they're getting charged with tax. I mean, these are felonies. Wesley Snipes went to jail for this exact thing. Hunter Biden isn't. Probably because he's white and a Democrat. Oh, no, that's what progressives love. That's what they always say, right? Where are progressives out there where are they saying, well, why isn't Hunter getting the Wesley Snipes treatment? Huh. I mean, isn't that their line? They always push race into it. Thought they'd appreciate that. Now, speaking of Law and Order, I told you yesterday the story of a horrific story. Health and Human Services. They're once again being accused of incompetency and recklessness because kids have been discovered into trafficking. They were being pushed into trafficking. A lot of these kids that were brought over, I mean, I'm talking about kids, pulling my story up, not, you know, 19-year-olds, not adults pretending to be kids, but actual kids. And the, like, Texas DPS, I was sharing this with you yesterday. They were sounding the alarm on some of this. In fact, a lot of these NGOs, these non-government operators, working with Office of Refugee Settlement, which is under HHS, under Xavier Becerra, they have been sounding the alarm for quite some time. I mentioned just yesterday that New York Times piece, where they were saying that there were kids that have gone missing because they were being told to discharge them as soon as possible, get them out, not even really properly vet where they were going. In fact, there was one story that came in. There were 30 kids discovered by DPS in trafficking situations. And these are kids that are coming across the border. Now, Xavier Becerra was livid, the former AG of California, now heading up HHS for Joe Biden. He was livid in telling people within the Office of Refugee Settlement that they needed to process these kids faster and get them out. And he said that Henry Ford would have been ashamed of them. He was saying it should be like a processing line, like it should be like a, you know, can just get it all out quickly. Well, now we can see. So this story, I'm going to pull this up. This is not why DOJ is investigating. You would think that DOJ would be investigating to talk to a lot of these third-party government contractors who have been trying to blow the whistle on the incompetency and the criminality of HHS. And, I mean, he's on video. The New York Times had it. I mean, it's we played it. Becerra was on video saying that Henry Ford would be ashamed of these people, that he was firing people who didn't meet quotas of discharging, processing and discharging kids fast enough, didn't care if where they were going was vetted or not. We're talking thousands of kids, thousands upon thousands upon thousands. That's not why DOJ is investigating, though. They're not investigating because of that. They're not investigating from any of it. In fact, what they're looking at is this goofy story from Houston Chronicle. It says DPS troopers were told to push kids back into the Rio Grande. I don't believe it at all. They said that a DPS trooper leaked an email that instructs officers on ways to physically stop people trying to illegally cross into Texas. And that includes pushing children and babies back into the river. And they said that the trooper leaked it because of the inhumane nature. And it went to the Houston Chronicle. And the trooper was like, oh yeah, I watched this in Eagle Pass. You know where they have all the cameras that never saw it? It's wild. So to me, it doesn't seem like this is a whistleblowing situation. I mean, not at all. They were trying to say that there were razor wire buoys on the river covered with razor wire, which I've never heard of before. I mean, we're in Texas and, you know, we get stuff from, you know, DPS and Border Patrol all the time. They were saying, oh, a 4-year-old girl passed out from heat. A teenager broke his leg trying to navigate the water around the wire. Had to be carried by his father. Wait a minute. Why is the father not being called out for being inhumane? Why are people bringing their kids here through this condition in the heat? I mean, you know that we're trying to deter drug smuggling. The opioid epidemic is the number one killer. I mean, that's... I don't believe that DPS is told to push kids back into the water. I don't believe that at all. And I don't believe that it's Border Patrol's problem, any of this either. This is the administration that has created a problem and it's trying to blame Border Patrol for it. I mean, so now they have DOJ and looking into it. Not looking into the missing kids and the trafficking, because I think Xavier Becerra is one of the biggest human traffickers right now. He's legitimized by government. So he looks legit, you know. But I don't believe this of DPS. And where's the discussion of inhumane treatment? People who are willingly bringing their kids through all of this, in the heat, through the water. I just stop it. Good grief. You know what? Maybe the administration should stop empowering these cartels. They're engaged in human trafficking. It's almost like they're working with HHS on this. Oh, it's Border Patrol's problem. They're trying to do their jobs. Now, to that point, this situation with the illegal entrants going from Texas, did you hear about this too? So they had a fourth bus carrying illegal entrants from Texas. The governor of Texas sent it to Los Angeles. I wanted to play this soundbite for you, too. This is Eric Adams saying, quit sending people who are coming into the country illegally. Quit sending them to New York. We don't have any more room. Listen to this. This is his little press story on this.
We stated several months ago that we have reached full capacity. And that full capacity was verbalized, and now New York is just going to be visually actualized. We're going to see how much of our cup has basically runneth over. We have no more room in the city, and we need help.
Texas is at full capacity. We don't have any more room. Border towns in Texas don't have any more room. You should have thought about that before you declared yourself a sanctuary city, but didn't want to actually offer sanctuary.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
So a Florida man nicknamed Joker was sent back to jail one day after he ended his decade-long sentence. Yeah, Albert Lee Gardner. I wonder why he was called Joker. He was involved in criminal mischief, lewd battery involving a victim aged 12 to 15 years old. Well, if you're looking at the simulcast of the radio program, Juan threw it up there. It's Hernando County Sheriff's Office. Oh, but it's because of his insane face tats. He has like the Harlequin marks on his eyes. And then he's got, I don't know, I guess it's supposed to be like where his bone would go for his top jaw. I don't know.
Is he eating licorice? What is that?
I don't even know. They're just bad. They're just bad. At least he doesn't have no rag rats on his neck, you know? Yeah. No regerts or rag rats. Yeah, so anyway, he was sent back to jail. One day. You're in jail for a decade. One day. And then you go back. Because you immediately are breaking the law. They said that his GPS tracker, they noticed it had been at the same 7-Eleven for a real long time. They thought it was suspicious. And so they found that he had removed it. And it put it in the trash. So then they got a call about an overdose less than a mile down the street. And it was him. He immediately gets out, takes off his ankle bracelet, and goes and overdoses. Jiminy Christmas. So he's back in. A Florida man was arrested for selling fentanyl disguised as ADHD. Oh my gosh. It was actually fentanyl. This is terrifying. I didn't realize that people abuse ADHD medication. Like, to the extent to which they do. I didn't know that. Like, they use it like as like an upper or something?
Yeah, like Adderall.
Suspect Jaquan Jones McCrary was arrested and charged with trafficking of fentanyl. They showed a photo of the pills. They found 43 and a half orange tablets that weigh over 18 grams. That's holy wow. That could kill everybody. Yeah. Oh my gosh, that is so dangerous. So they say drug dealers may tell you they're selling real meds, but these homemade pressed pills can be filled with fentanyl. I mean, at that point, how would you not? If he's got the intent to distribute, how is that also, wouldn't that also be like, you know, some kind of murder charge or attempted murder? Because one of those pills would kill somebody. Like, you're giving them death. You're giving them death. That's what that's it. Because only a tiny fraction of that is all it takes to kill somebody. Wow. That's terrifying. Absolutely terrifying. Also, Florida parents are seeking $15 million after their daughter was disfigured and scarred by a hot chicken nugget in Florida. Why the parents handed their 4-year-old, a piping hot nugget, a little baby tendy? Nobody knows. The Broward jury found Upchurch Foods and McDonald's liable for burns. They said she was just severely burned by a chicken nugget. She's disfigured and scarred. They said that McDonald's was negligent. Do the parents have any, though? Like, responsibility in any of this? Is that no? Just no? Third hour on the way. Stick with us. We got a lot more in store.
Now, many of my Republican colleagues across the dais will rush to cover that they have Mr. Kennedy here because they want to protect his free speech, that they do not believe in American censorship. This is not the kind of free speech that I know of, the free speech that is protected by the Constitution's First Amendment. But free speech is not an absolute. The Supreme Court has stated that. Others' free speech that is allowed, hateful, abusive rhetoric, does not need to be promoted in the halls of the People's House.
Okay, so I really don't think that she understands the concept of free speech. And that is emphatically not what the Supreme Court has said. And I don't think that you can, with any kind of intelligence, infer that a ruling discussing a very narrow, I would say, responsibility is in any way indicative of saying that it's not, that renders the natural right as being not absolute. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. That's Stacey Plaskett, who was speaking earlier today at this House Weaponization Subcommittee hearing. And she was going after one of the witnesses. It was RFK Jr. who was talking. She's saying that that's not the free speech that she knows of. And, of course, this was about how, you know, it was about COVID and all that stuff. And they were saying that she was disputing the idea that he had been invited because he had been censored. And that's when she went into this whole thing on how it's not an absolute. That's not the free speech that I know of, is what she said. Well, apparently that's not. She doesn't know free speech. Because it's not limited by the court. That is such a, gosh, we have an absolute ignorance of economics and also natural rights in this country. I mean, that is. So you want to know why she's wrong? Why she's wrong is because you're not limited in what you can say. I think that the idea of free, what does it mean when you're talking about free speech? Right? Oh, and first I need to say, welcome back. It's top of our third hour, Dana Lash here. What does she mean when she's talking about, when or does she know what free speech means? You actually can say anything. But what the Supreme Court has determined or made determinations on is that there are certain things that will come with a liability if, in fact, what you're saying is malicious, designed to hurt someone, that they can actually prove damages. And that's the other thing. I mean, free speech, any kind of defamation, libel, slander, they are the most difficult cases to prosecute in the United States because the bar is set so high and they're incredibly expensive to litigate. And a lot of people don't really understand the difference between opinion or, because I mean, you have to have discovery with things like this. You have to prove damages, meaning you have to show that you were financially impacted in a negative way by something that was said. I mean, you have to show a direct association with a negative suffered or incurred, and then with that, with whatever was said. I mean, there's why you have libel. I mean, we have laws on this, but there is a significant difference in being unable to say something and then also being responsible for any consequence that may come from speech that legally meets the litmus test of libel, slander, defamation, the fighting words, and all of that. She's arguing for censorship. You have a Democrat who is sitting there in the hearing, literally arguing for censorship. No, there is not a singular ruling from the Supreme Court in which the content of someone's speech is being prohibited or restricted. Now, they do say in previous rulings, it's time, place, and manner. But that has to do, and it's a very narrow scope, and that is in no way even remotely justifies that there's no, it's not absolute. Good heavens. And she says, no, you're forcing social media companies to promote things. It's no one forced Elon Musk to buy Twitter. No one forced Elon Musk to say that, you know, it's time to stop censoring people. Nobody forced him to do any of this stuff. He chose to do it because he himself was worried about expression. And I think he just likes getting involved and throwing stuff around. He's got blanky money. Like, he's the richest guy on the planet. He can do whatever he wants. He can have fun however he wants to. But that's just so silly. I mean, this, jeez, arguing for censorship. They're arguing for censorship. I know that's just, I have to say it several times just to get, you know, there was one lawmaker who said that, and this was done by Media Research Center. They had a poll showing that 45% of Democrat voters were not aware exactly of the Hunter Biden story, and that the censorship of the story may have impacted the election. Now, that's an interesting argument. Now, it's not being pursued. Yeah, they said that it would have had, I mean, their vote would have been, a lot of people's votes would have been very impacted. Good heavens. Free speech is absolute. But as I was just saying, you do have a responsibility if your speech then negates someone else's right. I mean, we've talked about this before. I mean, I think we've gone over the whole fire in a crowded theater thing. That was the Schenck ruling where you had, this was like, think after like World War One, there was a guy who was arrested. It was an Oliver Wendell Holmes case. He was arrested, Charles Schenck. He was thrown into prison because he was passing out. He's a socialist and he was passing out these anti-war pamphlets. And so because it was a time of war, his speech was considered, he was considered liable for a, you know, I can't even remember what, at this point, what the charge was. It was censorship, all the same. And Oliver Wendell Holmes, when he was talking about, you know, fire in a crowded theater, that was a dictum. That wasn't even a legally actionable or a legally binding thing. That was kind of like an offhand remark that wasn't a part of the official ruling, but yet it's taken as gospel truth and acted as though it's like woven right in with the official ruling by anyone who sits here and wants to, you know, unjustly use that as a justification for censorship. And the crazy thing about that is, I think it was Brown versus Board of Education 60 something years later that actually overturned that. Actually totally destroyed that. So it was a wrong ruling that was overturned 60 years later, and it was a wrong ruling because it was defending censorship. I mean, they were arguing for censorship. But the point of my bringing up the history of that is that no one was, you're not prevented from shouting fire in a crowded theater. You're not told that you can't shout fire in a crowded theater. You're not, no one's going to put a hand over your mouth and tell you that you can't do it. However, the understanding is that if you're doing so maliciously so as to cause harm to other people by incitement or something, then that could be actionable. So I think that words have meanings. And when you say that free speech is an absolute, I don't think that you understand what the word absolute means, Plaskett. I don't think she understands that word. I don't think she understands the concept of free speech. I don't think that she understands the concept of speech that has financial consequences. I don't think she understands any of that. And as a result, I don't think that she has any justification or credibility at all whatsoever, A, to even have the seat that she has, and B, to even be on this committee lecturing someone else about it. Right? Good heavens. Some of these people need a class. They need to go back to school. It's ridiculous. And pay it for it themselves and not take out loans. You know, that's just all there is to it. So this, I still have a bunch of stuff that I want to make sure that we're getting into. We've been following the whistleblower stuff. We've been following the weaponization, hitting all of that as well. I wanted to get into some of this law and order because this is really became, I think, officially yesterday. Illinois is going to be the first state in the country to eliminate cash bail entirely. Canes, how you feel about that, man? Yeah? They're going to eliminate cash bail. They tried doing this. They tried having bail reform like this in New York, and it was so bad that they had to roll it back. Like, I think, what, a year? After they had to roll it back a year after it went into effect in 2020, and it was so bad they had to undo it. Dang. So they are, golly, what a nightmare. So the details on it, they're going to become the first state. Law enforcement has, they've already been very vocal. They say that they fear this is going to mean more violent. Well, of course it is. More violent criminals are going to be able to, reoffend while they await trial. That's just, you know, all there is to it. And they said that criminals in other states with similar rules, like New York, for instance, have gone on to commit horrific crimes. I'm actually pulling up in my bookmarks all these stories that I have of these violent offenders that were cashless bail. In fact, a couple of the most recent murders coming out of New York, that was high profile murder cases. That was individuals that had been released on cashless bail. And in California, they've had individuals who were released on cash free or low cost bail. They did a certain pull this up. They did a survey on this, and what they found, it is the Yolo County District Attorney's Office in Northern California. They said that individuals who were released on cash free or low cost bail are actually 200% more times to offend. I don't even know. Wow. What? Yeah. They said that including those who commit, they said they're more likely to reoffend, including committing new violent offenses 200% more often. Mm. And so that came from their emergency zero bail policy that they implemented that. So Yolo County had it from April 2020 to May 2021, and they had to get rid of it too. It has not been successful anywhere that it's ever been implemented. It is an entirely failed policy. I mean, in all of the places that have implemented it since 2020, actually 2019, it's been absolutely disastrous. I mean, disastrous. The Manhattan Institute had a story. They did a survey on the 2019 bail reform law that they had. And because they had they were reducing some of the offenses, they were doing cashless or no bail or lowered bail. They said that crime rate went up. It put more criminal defendants awaiting trial back on the street where they broke more laws. I mean, almost instantly. They said 2.5 months after the law went into effect, before even coronavirus was a factor, crime rose over 20% in New York City alone. Burglary up 27%, robbery 34%, 23% shooting incidents, car theft 70%. And the only crimes that show decreases were murder and rape, because those were the only two criminal offenses where they didn't reduce bail, where judges could still set it. This is what Illinois is just now making. It has been a disaster everywhere else, and Illinois is going to make it a reality.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So American Airlines flight attendants are pushing for a strike vote. This coming through a couple of different sources, including The Hill. Flight attendants with the airline are going to vote on a potential strike later this month as thousands of workers fight for better wages. The Association of Professional Flight Attendants, they represent 26,000 of them. They said that the vote will last July 28th through August 29th, and that attendants were ready for an agreement that respected their contributions to the success of American Airlines. So they said that they want a new contract, 35% one-time wage increase, 6% annual raise, and increased benefits. American Airlines pilots authorized a strike earlier this year as their union negotiates a new contract with the airline. So we'll see, you know, we'll watch how that unfolds. But that's definitely something to keep on your radar. Japan is going to deploy, this is like my Minority Report stuff, pre-crime style behavior detection technology. Incredibly dystopian. This is really weird. They said that it's their national police agency. They're adopting AI-enhanced pre-crime surveillance cameras to bolster the security measures surrounding VIPs. That's after Shinzo Abe was assassinated. Right there in broad daylight in the middle of public is crazy. And the rising threats posed by what government call lone offenders over there. So they say it's AI law enforcement. It's becoming commonplace. This is somewhat terrifying, I gotta say. Can you imagine how this could be used in the wrong hands? James Cameron doubts that AI can write good scripts and says the weaponization of AI is the biggest danger, saying, "I warned you in 1984 and you didn't listen." He's right, though. I mean, I do understand the arguments that talent are making about AI, because there's something there. Disney apparently has like a whole library of all its talent, everything that they do, their voice, everything. We have a whole bunch more on the way. The latest is cops brace for that crime spike in Illinois with the cashless bail and all kinds of stuff. Stay with us.
To catch up on all the headlines and crazy wokery, download the Dana Show podcast and get Dana's perspective on the Dana Show.
It would not be difficult, I think, to sit here and pick apart this legislation. And I think my Democratic colleagues know that. There's not a dummy among them. There's not a dummy on this Judiciary Committee. But you don't have to be Oliver Wendell Scalia to figure out that this legislation is meant to be a court-killing machine. For example, it would allow any jackaloon out there in America in a tinfoil hat whose own dog thinks he's an utter nutter, to file a motion to recuse the United States Supreme Court justice. Now, what could possibly go wrong?
You can tell where someone's from by the way they say the words O-I-L, or the letters O-I-L together as a word. Welcome back to the show. Dana Lash here with you. As Senator Kennedy, he will not come on the show. I don't know why. We've tried. He was like, no, we hate you. They didn't say we hate you, but I think they do. I think they hate us. Sad. I'm going to cry in the corner. But he said, O-L. It's all my family. O-L. Cooking O-L. O-L for the car. I mean, tinfoil. I mean, that's... this is how it is. Oh, my gosh. Bottom of this third hour here. On Thursday. Make sure you go and sign up for the newsletter over at Substack, Chapter and Verse. Lots of good stuff that goes out to you on that every single day. The bribery scheme, I don't know if y'all saw this, but that doc was released, that FD 1023 form, House Oversight, Chuck Grassley. When he's not tweeting about deer, he's tweeting about that 1023. So this was the internal FBI document that basically was the spine of the claim that Joe Biden and Hunter forced a Ukrainian oil executive to pay them $10 million for VP's influence and getting that senior prosecutor fired. And it's detailed in this form. It was between a confidential source and the Burisma CFO, Vadim Poryarsky, and it's from 2015. Says Hunter was hired on the board to, quote, protect us through his dad from all kinds of problems, despite the fact that, quote, Hunter was not smart. The Burisma CEO, Mykola Zolochevsky, additionally told the source during a meeting that it cost $5 million to pay one Biden and $5 million to another Biden. And Zolochevsky added that although Hunter Biden was stupid, and Zolochevsky's dog was smarter, Zolochevsky needed to keep Hunter on board so everything will be okay. They've said this like a million times. It is so, I find this hysterical. I can almost hear it. Although Hunter Biden was stupid, my dog is smarter. We've got to keep him on board so everything will be okay. They say that it's still partially redacted. Grassley published it a little earlier today. And it gets into the 2015-2016 meetings that took place right about the time that Biden was on stage. Remember that? And he was making that statement about the former prosecutor, Viktor Shokin, being corrupt and that he has to be removed from office. Now, Shokin had at that time opened up an investigation into Burisma, and they knew that was going to have a pretty significant impact on the prospective IPO in the U.S., So the form states that Zolochevsky replied, quote, don't worry, Hunter will take care of all of those issues through his dad. That was the direct, that's all in the form. It's all in the form. And then after the 2016 election, and I don't know why I end up sounding like Alicia from Warhammer Vermintide, but it works. In addition, after the 2016 election, Zolochevsky stated that they were not happy that Trump won the election, and also, quote, didn't want to pay the Bidens, but we are pushed to pay them. And then the form confirms that there was concern by the Burisma executive about how, not just one, but apparently a couple, how they were going to have to explain these suspicious wire transfers that may evidence some illicit payments to the Bidens. And so Zolochevsky responded, quote, I did not send any funds directly to the big guy, which we all know is now referencing Biden. He said, quote, it would take 10 years to find the records. So they said that they didn't want to pay him. They were pushed to pay him. They tried hiding them. And then this is when the source added, this is on June 29th, 2020, in a supplemental report, that Zolochevsky, this was the guy who said he had many text messages, 17 recordings total, to show that he was being coerced by the Bidens to make these payments. 17 audio recordings of phone calls, two of which are Joe Biden. The other 15 are Hunter. and they were kept as an insurance policy. You know what? They have like Clinton aspirations, but they don't tie up their loose ends like the Clintons do. You know what I mean? They say that, and this form was created on June 30th, 2020. It had a $5 million each arrangement between Joe Biden, Hunter Biden, and then the Mykola Zolichevsky, the Burisma CEO, in exchange for getting this prosecutor who had a probe opened into the country or the company fired. And Grassley obtained it, published it. I mean, they, as Kane notes, go ahead and say what you were saying. Say what you're saying. Put it in.
Well, first, they had nothing like this on Trump, yet they investigated over and over and over and over and impeached him twice, still with no evidence whatsoever.
Yeah.
Here they have it in their laps, and they're doing absolutely nothing.
I mean, I'm looking at this. It said CHS, they're talking about the payments, told Zolichevsky that any such payment to the Bidens would complicate matters. And that Burisma should hire some normal oil and gas advisors. They need to hire some normal oil and gas advisors because the Bidens have no experience with that business sector. They don't know what they're doing. Why don't you hire some like people who know what they're doing? I mean, we could have told you that. My favorite thing about this, I mean, actually, I don't like any of it because I don't. You know, you don't want your White House to be compromised. Good grief, because it gets into your, you know, national security here. They keep saying Hunter is so dumb. He's very stupid. He's not a bright man. They say it over and over again in here. It's actually hysterical. Joe Biden said, he's the smartest man I know. I mean, smartest guy. Guys, this is like some, I mean, this is some, way more, as Kane said, way more than anything that they ever had on Trump and impeached him for. It gets into the shortly after the 2016 election during the transition period. They were asking, that's the call where Zolichevsky was asked whether or not he was happy with the election results. Before that call, before the election wrapped up, that's when Zolichevsky was being told that any kind of payments to the Biden, if it came up, that that's going to complicate things and that Burisma should hire normal oil and gas advisors because it looks goofy. And Zolichevsky said, quote, although Hunter Biden is stupid and my dog is smarter, we have to keep him on board so everything will be okay. And he said he was asked whether Hunter or Joe told Zolichevsky that they need to retain Hunter. And Zolichevsky said they both did. So Joe told him, President of the United States said, you got to keep him. Hunter said, you got to keep me. Now, it was also said that Zolichevsky had already paid the Bidens to deal with Shokin. Wow. So this is, I mean, these are, I mean, you got people's names. This is no like anonymous nothing. This is no intrigue or anything. This is actual, you know, people coming out and being very forthright and putting their names with us. How is there not an impeachment? And then you have which came out, and this came from Shapley. Now, remember when Shapley was saying that they were talking about the deal that Hunter had with Biden's, his dad's DOJ. So they reduced all of his felony tax evasion charges, reducing them to just a misdemeanor, dropping his gun charge so he has nothing, you know, serious on his record. And the U.S. attorney, Shapley, named him as Matthew Graves. Matthew Graves he donated to Biden's campaign, voted Democrat, donated to Biden's campaign. He refused to bring charges against Hunter for tax evasion. And Joseph Ziegler said without any doubt that the evidence and the investigation wholly support felony and misdemeanor tax charges. Wow. So why should any of, I mean, I'm just curious, why should anyone else be expected to pay anything when Hunter doesn't have to? I mean, you have all this here, and as Kane points out, Alvin Bragg had to, and I don't even think that this is, I still don't think that he had any legal basis to do this. He had to butcher a misdemeanor charge and then accuse Trump of trying to carry out another misdemeanor so that the misdemeanor for the, committing one crime to hide another crime could constitute a felony. And so he could tweak the law to suit his purposes when no other prosecutor would do it and try to, and that's the basis of his case for that indictment. Something else. All of this, how do you not hold an impeachment over this? There's so much here. What the things that are indisputable are, we know without any shadow of a doubt that that family from, what was it, Burisma in Romania got $17 million. They have no idea why they got money from Romania. They know beyond any shadow of doubt, because they show the money going into their account, that they got millions from China. For what? What were they buying? They have no idea. It was never claimed as income. They accepted it as income. They spent it as income. It was never claimed as income. I mean, that's major, major. And that's major tax evasion. I was looking to see, because when Wesley Snipes went to jail for tax evasion, he literally just didn't file tax returns from 99 to 01. And the left is trying to say, like, oh, you can't compare it. Yeah, you really can't, because Wesley Snipes' case was way less worse. I mean, it was like nothing compared to Hunter Biden's.
Also, Wesley worked for his money.
Yeah.
What did Hunter do for that money?
Well, he traded influence for his money.
That's exactly right.
That's exactly what he did. And he accepted a plea deal. Snipes didn't get a plea deal. The Bidens evaded millions in federal income taxes, and they get a sweetheart deal. Wesley Snipes just returns from 9901. And I think he owed the government almost, Wesley Snipes owed the government almost $7 million in unpaid taxes. And he lost his last appeal, and he served time. When you look at the Bidens, it's over $17 million in unreported income. That's indisputable. You can dispute, because we don't really know what they got it for. You can dispute that. But what you can't dispute is the fact that they received the money, because there are records for that. So just on that basis alone, I want someone to answer why Wesley Snipes goes to jail and the Bidens get a pass. And Snipes, as Kane said, earned his money. This from the Bidens, were they selling out America to Chinese interests?
Yes.
Were they selling out America in regards to Ukraine or Romania? What were they getting this money for? Especially since they were helping China buy up rare earth element mines so they could wholly control the resource for EVs. Big deal.
Catch the Dana Show noon to 3 p.m. Eastern on DirecTV Channel 347.
I have a really great story to end the day with. This is a really cool one. It's from the New York Post. Dogs are the best people. A baby was carried to safety by a stray dog after she was abandoned in the trash in Lebanon. A stray dog rescued this little baby girl out of the bag very carefully, was carrying the bag carefully in its mouth, according to a couple of different news agencies. And the dog was apparently, one news agency was saying that the dog was trying to walk by people and draw attention to the fact that something was crying in the bag. And that the dog didn't seem aggressive with the baby at all. Like, it was actually trying to get, you know, some people would be like, oh, maybe the person who abandoned the baby thought the dogs would finish her off. But that dog, nope. Very carefully, they said. And then it laid the bag. I mean, that's crazy. One agency said that When passerby took her, they took her to the Islamic hospital and before being transferred to the Tripoli government hospital. And she's in serious but stable condition, has abrasions and red bruises across her whole face and body. There's some, I mean, she looks still young. I wouldn't say she's, some thought she was 4 months old. That baby didn't look over 3 months old. A lot of people were wanting to adopt the baby. I hope the dog is adopted too with the baby, because that is an amazing dog. That's an amazing dog. All right. Today in Stupidity, Kane.
All right. There's a lot to choose from today. President Biden had spoke, you know, in Philadelphia to the unions, and man, did we have a lot there. But angry Kamala Harris.
Oh my God.
Is what I want to hear.
It's so bad.
I mean, she sounds burdened by her lies. Listen to this.
And while they do this, check it out. They push forward revisionist history. Just yesterday in the state of Florida, they decided middle school students will be taught that enslaved people benefited from slavery.
That's not taught at all.
They insult us in an attempt to gaslight us, and we will not stand.
She doesn't sound unburdened by what has been, which is weird, and no cackle.
No, she doesn't. And I think she's one of those people, she has this sort of vocal tonality where it does not do you any favors to yell. Just don't. You sound bad. All right, folks, tomorrow's Friday. We made it through the week. I will be back with you behind the mic then. Have a great night.